Feel privileged to be able to greet each one here in Jesus' name this morning. It's just been a blessed morning to look into the Word of God, and I want to continue to do that. Daniel already hinted at what the message is about, and the message is certainly about the spirit world. Now, I have titled the message Discerning the Spirits. I find it interesting that people in general have a lot of interest, seems, in the spirit world and maybe in spiritual things, at least to a degree. Not just in the church, but the spirit world seemingly has generated a lot of interest, and does, in many different ways. This message, by the way, was suggested or given and to me as a suggestion or a topic for a message. And I prayed about it and felt that God was directing that way. Don't think we preachers necessarily always just right away, someone suggests a message, that we just take that without praying, seeking God's face in behalf of that. But I do think we have a responsibility if someone suggests a message and asks for a message on a certain subject. I do feel God directing the message this morning. And as Daniel mentioned, key text is in 1 John 4, verse 1, where he says, "Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets," or we could say many false spirits, "are gone out into the world." Let me say, they don't just stay in the world, but they certainly try their best to come into the church and in our lives as Christians. They really do. And as Christians, at times that we struggle, I struggle, I expect you to discern who and what is speaking. And it can be in many, many different things. There are many spirits that are not from God. And moreover, these spirits, they seek to undermine the Holy Spirit that indwells God's people. I want to make it clear, God's people have the Holy Spirit dwelling within us. So where, in relation to the Holy Spirit, do all these spirits come in and that we have to deal with at times? Maybe every day. These spirits, and I dare say that there's hundreds, maybe thousands of spirits. I don't know how many. I don't think anyone knows how many. I don't think there's a number on them that seek to undermine and seek to infiltrate the lives of God's people, and certainly all of humanity as well. Why do you think that we have people? Why does man react and do the things that they do? Is it not because of a spirit that is driving them? A spirit that is maybe has control or is seeking to control their lives. For example, you know, we have things we deal with. And I'll just give you a few to think about so you understand what I'm saying. I mean, the spirit of fear, the spirit of doubt, the spirit of unbelief, the spirit of anger, the spirit of... put in there whatever you want. There's hundreds and hundreds of them. but they seek to attach themselves to our lives. They seek to undermine the Holy Spirit, the indwelling Spirit. Like even getting up to preach. I don't know what all the other pastors face at times, but yeah, I deal with the spirit I want to say it's fear, but yeah, there is fear, or I think a spirit of trembling is good, but a spirit that tries to hinder the message. It's not the Holy Spirit. But anything that tries to hinder the message, and even in studying for this message, I had to battle with many spirits that try to hinder and try to do whatever they can to do that. Now, on this subject, I plan, Lord willing, to preach two messages. The message this morning will be message number one, and so there will be a second message. The message this morning I'd like to think of the message this morning as discerning the Spirit within me. That we discern the Spirit within us, the spirits that try to work within us. And I mentioned about the hundreds of spirits that are floating around wherever, whatever. And it's precisely these spirits that this message seeks to address. But the message this morning will be directed to me personally, to you personally, looking at my life, looking at your life, apply the message to your life. And then the second message, the next message, like to preach on discerning the spirits that are without, or the spirits that say being in others, the spirits that are without. And the reason for the message this morning, directing the message first to me, to us personally, is simply because I believe that it's of utmost importance, it's imperative that I begin with myself, that I examine myself, that I look within, that I seek to know the spirit or spirits that seek to attach themselves to my life. How can I discern the spirits that are without or in others if I'm not sure? Or if I don't first of all make sure my house is in order, that I make sure that I don't have a spirit that is from the spirit world that is not in order, that's giving me an attitude or doing a work in my life that is not, is counterproductive to the kingdom of God. So I think it's very important that we, first of all, we look within ourselves and see what spirit is it that's driving me? What spirit is it that's making me do the things I do, and that I'm able to discern other spirits, what's happening in the spirit world? Ephesians 6:12. Speaks about the spirit world when it says we are not wrestling with flesh and blood, but with spiritual wickedness in high places. And I believe that's referring to the spirit world, spiritual wickedness that we have to deal with, that we seeks to infiltrate our lives and our minds. Another thing that, you know, we often refer to these spirits as attitudes. And I think they're probably one and the same thing, that, you know, we say, well, such and such, or I have an attitude about this or that. when it, really it's a spirit that's within me, that's working within me. You can call it an attitude or whatever. You can say there's attitudes. But because it does, it affects us and it creates and we have an attitude about those things. So, this message is, the point of this message is, remember, is to look within ourselves. That I look within me and you look within yourself. What is, you know, what spirit is seeking to infiltrate, or what the spirits that you're dealing with, what are they? Where are they from? Are they from God? Are they one with the Holy Spirit? Because without that, I think if I don't look within myself, and again, like to emphasize this, how can I discern other spirits if I don't first look within myself? And that's why the message this morning is on that. In Matthew 23, we have Jesus speaking to the scribes and Pharisees. He said unto them, he said, "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye make clean the outside of the cup and of the platter, but within they are full of extortion and excess. Thou blind Pharisees, cleanse first that which is within the cup and platter, that the outside of them may be clean also." And I use those verses in relation to the message this morning of examining ourselves. Things look well on the outside. Most, you know, we seek to, you know, we can get the outside. Maybe it's easy to get that in order. Maybe it's much easier to get that in order than it is the inside. Probably is, I expect. We can have the outside looks pretty good. You know, I look at across the audience here this morning and y'all look pretty good. Y'all do, as they'd say in the South. Y'all look pretty good. But I just see the outside. Not, you know, I'm not sure if you could see. And I first of all, always want to speak to myself. You could see what's going on inside my life, and I could see what's going on inside your life, might see a different picture. The words of the Lord might fit very well. That inside, you know, inside there's all kinds of struggles. There's issues and there's struggles and we hardly know what to do with them. And we battle and we struggle and try to overcome them. The Word of God, remember, has the answer for these things. But as we journey and as we live the Christian life, we have to do with these spirits. We have to do with the spirit world. We really do. And that's separate. Again, I want to make a clear distinction between that and the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit indwells us, and we would never be a match. We would never be able to discern the spirit world without, were it not for the Holy Spirit dwelling within us. But, again, the spirit world seeks to undermine, seeks to erode and wear away, and seeks eat away at our life, at the Holy Spirit. And if we allow those things, if those things keep on in our life and they're not dealt with and not identified for what they are, eventually I picture that the Holy Spirit just has to back out, just has to back away. You see, you can't have evil spirits, or you can't have, let me put it this way, you know, maybe some of them don't look so evil. We don't even realize it. Let's say I have this. Let's say I'm dealing with. Maybe I'm dealing with something that really doesn't seem like that much of a magnitude, but it is an issue. It can be, you know, it can be just struggling with belief. It can be struggling with whatever your struggle may be. Is it the Holy Spirit? And, you know, at times we need to ask ourselves, we probably, as people of God, we probably should often do this. When we're struggling with something or we hear a voice, and there's many voices, and these are all connected with the spirits and attitudes, you know, we need to ask ourselves, is it from the Holy Spirit? Is the Holy Spirit telling me this? And at times it's good. Maybe you sense something in my life that you're not comfortable with, or vice versa. There's nothing wrong with asking each other, is the Holy Spirit telling you that? Is what you're saying and doing, is that from the Holy Spirit? If it's not from the Holy Spirit, then where is it from? I think we know the answer. There's not, you know, a lot of gray areas in there. It's either from God or from the Holy Spirit, or it's from some other spirit world. The spirit world that we have to do with, like Ephesians says, spiritual wickedness, the things that seek to bombard our minds. But again, I want to emphasize the point of this message is that we deal with the inward man. We deal with what's going on inside in our mind. And it's, you know, the Bible tells us that the heart is deceitful, desperately wicked, above all things. And who can know it? Do you realize that within us, in our humanity, we have a sick heart without God? We really do. We have a sick heart without God. And something that we can convince ourselves in our humanity, I believe that you can, from what I have seen and what I even experienced, you can convince yourself of almost anything. And that's the heart, that it's deceitful. It can see, we can convince us. Why do you think that conditions in the world are where they at, and people with their minds that have just, you know, evildoers and seducers have waxed worse and worse and continue to grow worse, the man of sin being revealed? Why do you think? Where does that, you know, why do those things take place? Is it not because of the heart of man left himself is sick? It's sick. It's deceitful, desperately wicked, above all things. All right. Just looking at a couple more scriptures. We have the account here in Luke chapter 9. Just breaking in here in verse 51, it says, "And it came to pass, when the time was come that he should be received up," speaking of Jesus, "he steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem. And he sent messengers before his face, and they went and entered into a village of the Samaritans to make ready for him. And they did not receive him, because his face was as though he would go to Jerusalem. When his disciples James and John saw this, they said, 'Lord, wilt thou that we command fire to come down from heaven and consume them, even as Elias did?' But he turned and rebuked them and said, 'Ye know not what manner of spirit ye are.'" There's a classic example. They did not understand. They didn't realize, you know, what spirit was being manifested there. Perhaps you should be told that at times. Maybe that, you know, we don't know, we don't realize what kind of a spirit. If you're upset, if you're irritated, those are just simple spirits that we deal with in relating one to another. And we could write, again, I said, we could write pages and pages of spirits that we have to deal with. And but he told them, and I don't know what their response was. Doesn't tell us, but he just reminded us that you don't realize what kind of a spirit is working in you. That's why. And I expect they heard him, and I expect they considered that and remembered that as well. Well, then, I'd like to notice something else here in Luke chapter 11. We think of the spirit world. Breaking in here in verse 24 of Luke chapter 11, it says, "When the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, he walketh through dry places seeking rest, and finding none, he saith, 'I will return unto my house whence I came out.' And when he cometh, he findeth it swept and garnished. Then goeth he and taketh to him seven other spirits more wicked than himself. And they enter in and dwell there, and the last state of that man is worse than the first. I think that's a scary scripture. I take this to read when the unclean spirit is gone out of us, when we're converted, when the Holy Spirit moves into our life, or when the Holy, when we, well, let me put it this way. When the, as it mentioned here, when the unclean spirit is gone out of a man. Now you can take that, read that probably different ways. Meaning that when the unclean spirit goes out of us, then the Holy Spirit should be moved in here. But I'm not so sure if this is what happened here. Maybe this is more of a case. Maybe he's giving more of an example of when people try to clean up their lives or know that they have things that are not right. Whether it's the spirit of envy, of hatred, of lust, and immorality, and all those kind of things, you try to move them out, clean up house. And maybe you're an alcoholic, maybe you're an addict, maybe you're a drug addict, and all those kind of things. People try desperate to clean up their lives and get rid of that. Maybe they're successful for a while. This here would kind of look like maybe they're successful. So they get rid of that. But it says that the spirit from the spirit worlds come back and they find it swept and garnished. And then they take seven other spirits more wicked than was formerly in there. And it's worse than it was from the beginning. I think that happens. It happens just as the Lord said. But for us as Christians, the point I'd like to take from here is that we be very careful with our life. We're assuming that when the unclean spirit goes out, that the Holy Spirit is indwelling us now. That needs to be maintained. That needs to be kept up. That needs to be, we need to be very sensitive to that. That needs to be which controls our life. And there's no room for spirits that are not right. If we become lax, if we become lukewarm, for example, we could use the Laodicean church as an example. Obviously, they begin right, but as time went on, they had a spirit of compromise, a spirit of things are well and we're spiritually rich. They had a spirit of spiritual pride, and those are just all part of this spirit world. And they were losing out, back to the point where the angel said that if you don't repent, the candlestick's going to be removed, and that's what happens. So we need to guard this very carefully. As I look at this scripture here of the unclean spirit coming back and seeking to find refuge again, it tells me that it's not just a one-time experience, that our life needs to be a daily experience of the infilling of the Holy Spirit. Why? We could ask the question, after a born-again experience, a glorious conversion, are there incidents of falling away? Why are they? It's because of what we read here. Not a carefulness, not the house. Obviously, there was room for these spirits to move back in. And beloved, this morning, as children of the Most High God, filled with the Holy Spirit, we don't have any room, not if we're where we're at. We don't have any room for these spirits that are not from God to move into our life. We don't. And we want to maintain that. But it must be a daily experience of the infilling of the Holy Spirit. It's not just a one time. But I believe our prayer should be that to God, that each day that He renews the Holy Spirit within us, that He gives us the Holy Spirit. It's not just a one time experience. We can lose that joy. We can become spiritually lukewarm and cold. lose the joy of the Lord. And that can be replaced with carnality and attitudes that are simply not right. I think I have in my lifetime, I have seen that of people that started, had such a bright beginning and had such a glorious beginning in the Christian life. And only years later, there was something missing. There's the return to, obviously, the carnality of humanity and attitudes were simply not from God. It's because we have allowed a wrong and unclean spirit to enter into our house. That's why. That's what happens. And then our condition, our state of life can be worse than it was before we were converted when we lose that. So it's a very serious scripture there. So, discerning the spirit within myself. How can I do that? What does it take? Well, again, it's how can I discern if I have a right spirit? Here we have the Word of God. Use the Word of God as a mirror. When I look inside myself and I seek to see what voice is speaking to me, I don't know of a better place to go than the Word of God and see whether what I think I'm hearing, is it from God? And if it's not from God, then we know that it's from the opposing force. 2 Timothy 3:16-17, I think, is such a beautiful outline for us to check our lives, where it says that all scripture is given by inspiration of God. It's God-breathed. And it tells us what's wrong with our life. It tells us how to correct our lives. It tells us what to do. It tells us what truth is, what sound doctrine is. And so we have the Word of God as a mirror for our life. When we do this, when we look at the Word of God, and I'm thinking initially, but not just always initially, as we face issues, and maybe we find ourselves that we have listened to the wrong spirit in something in our life, and we use the Word of God. The Word of God, James speaks about using the Word of God as a mirror for us. And so when I look into the Word of God and I use it as a mirror for life, for my life, what do you think I see? I hope I never forget my initial experience. What I saw was a spiritual wreck. Humanity is a spiritual wreck. Do you believe that? Man given to himself, when you look to the Word of God, we are a spiritual wreck. And as we look into the Word of God, I'll never forget what a spiritual wreck I saw. And remember that in myself, in yourself, that's what you are. You're a spiritual wreck. But you're a spiritual fatality. When the transgression was there in the garden, when man fell, there was a spiritual fatality there. Man became a spiritual fatality because of the transgression in the garden. Now, praise the Lord that there is a difference there, the spiritual fatality, between that and a physical, a natural fatality, as we say. We say, well, someone was involved in a fatality, and they're gone. Through the power of Christ, you know, we resurrected from the dead. Isn't that wonderful? That spiritual wreck and that spiritual fatality that we are by nature, that we can be resurrected and walk in the newness of life. We use that in baptismal service, even as Christ was raised up by the glory of the Father, even so we also shall walk in the newness of life. Wonderful. That spiritual fatality that you and I were given under We can be resurrected in a new life. So, and I say that again in relation to looking within us. When we look within us, the Word of God, use that as a mirror, you're going to see a spiritual wreck if you respond and recognize yourself for who you are. That's just who we are. We're a spiritual wreck. Maybe you don't like to think of yourself as that. But it's what brought me to my knees, and I hope I'll never forget that. When I looked into the Word of God initially, I saw what a spiritual wreck my life was. But praise the Lord, there's a remedy for that. So, remember that how, as I think of discerning the Spirit within myself, how can I know if I have a right spirit? It's by using the Word. And maybe, probably, when you do that, there may be times that you'll see yourself, I'm headed for a spiritual wreck unless I take another course. And that's the grace of God. It's the mercy of God working in your life. When you see that what's happening in your life is a spirit that's going to end up in a spiritual wreck unless you change courses. That's the beauty, and that's the blessing of the Word of God. As we respond rightly and we cry out to God, it is then, when we see ourselves as a spiritual wreck, it is then that the words of Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 5, it's then that those words become effective. And it's what Jesus was addressing when he said, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God." You know who the poor in spirit are? It's those who look into the Word of God and they see their life as spiritual wreck. See, we have nothing. That's poor in spirit. And the next one I think is, "Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted." That mourn because of their condition in life. Those scriptures are so beautiful and so uplifting to the child of God. We see ourselves. That's what Jesus was referring to. I think when he said the words that he did there in the Beatitudes, in Matthew 5. "Blessed are they that are poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God." I think David says it best in Psalm 51. When he said, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me." Remember, in this message, we're looking within. We're searching our life. David, King David, did that. We realize what had happened there and maybe what made him say that. But that scripture is applicable and belongs to the people of God, to us all, as we have a broken and a contrite spirit, as we see our poorness in spirit. It goes on and says, "Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me." You see, David realized what could happen and what was happening. And he said, don't take that Holy Spirit from me. And we don't want to lose that as well. That's why that we, first of all, need to look within and see what's happening. You see, when we think of the spirit world, I mentioned in the beginning how people are obsessed and there seems to be so much interest in spiritual things. But I don't think, sadly, most of it is not the right interest in the right way. They're just fascinated about what's going on and what's happening. A little bit like we could be, you know, the story that we had in our Sunday school this morning about Elymas the sorcerer. Probably people were, you know, that was a spiritual story there. And people like those kind of things. They write books about that. But that doesn't make their heart right with God necessarily. Not unless they meet the condition. So again, that's why I think David says it so well. "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Then will I teach transgressors thy way, and sinners shall be converted unto thee." Do you get that? That's a power-packed scripture. When we do that, when this is our experience, when we meet this criteria, then we'll be able to help others. But see, how can I help others again? How can I help others deliver them from wrong spirits if I don't first go within my own life, if I don't first check my own heart? And that's the point of this message. That's why the emphasis in this message is that we, every one of us, we turn within ourselves first of all and make sure that we are where we need to be, that we don't have a number of spirits attached to our life trying to erode and wear away at the Holy Spirit in our life because we want to, first of all, we want to be able to reach out and help others. That should be our mission. When we do that, then we can experience what David said. Isaiah 66, verse 2, is with the scripture where God said, "But to this man will I look, even to him that is of a poor and of a contrite spirit and trembleth at my word." In conclusion of this message, the key point in this message is again that we daily look within ourselves, that we guard against and are free of wrong spirits or wrong attitudes, and have the spirit of truth so we can rightly discern the spirits. Then we can do as David said here, "Then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee." Let's kneel for prayer.